Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to this week's episode of The State of Recruiting, your weekly Hornish 24/7 recruiting podcast. I'm Mike Roach, and I'm joined as always by Nick Harris. And it's going to be an action-packed show with lots to talk about. But before we get into that, we want to point you to the other great shows on our network, including The Flagship with Taylor Estes and Chip Brown, and The Longhorn Blitz with Jeff Howe and Rod Babers. So Nick, before we get started with the show, how has the week gone for you?
Going pretty good. Visit season's getting kind of crazy, but you know, we have a big visit to preview this upcoming weekend with 2023s and even 2022s. So we're gonna have a lot to get into today.
Yeah, you know, we wanted this, and I have to keep telling myself that, but I'm already experiencing some of that recruiting fatigue. And we're like a week and a half into this thing, and it just feels like a grind, man. Like literally, as soon as we stopped writing all the post-visit stuff for last weekend, I started writing all the pre-visit stuff for this weekend. And I know it's going to be that like that for the next, you know, 3 weeks. So it's a little daunting, but I guess it's good to have news to write about.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we waited, I guess, 15 months for it. So we can't be complaining now that it's here.
Yeah, we asked for it. I got to keep reminding myself. Nick, I'm looking at you through our screen here, and you're just looking up. Do you have something above the monitor? Is it your TV or something? Are you watching something right now?
Yeah, it's Game 3, Softball National Championship, Oklahoma and Florida State.
Okay. I didn't know you're a big softball guy.
I am when it comes around to the World Series. It gets pretty fun.
So do you – I'm just trying to imagine your setup in your room. Do you have, like, a little desk with your computer and then your TV is mounted, like, right above that?
Yeah, the desk is pretty big, so the TV is actually on the desk. So
oh, okay. Okay, I got you. I couldn't tell if it was, like, up on the wall, like, above you, and you're just, like, sitting there looking straight up. Sorry. Sorry, guys. We're crazy on the brain. All right, let's jump into it. Nick, last week was the first week of visits. We recorded a live show from the parking lot. It was your first camp experience, your first time doing a Texas camp. What were your thoughts on that experience?
Yeah, it was pretty great. And, you know, kind of looking at the camp scene in like the last week or so, Texas has been able to identify some talent and throw out some offers that to even some kids we haven't even heard of. We can point to one in particular, 2023 offensive tackle, Colton Thomason from Smithson Valley. They identified him at one of their camps and offered right on the spot. So, I mean, that's the beauty of camp season. These guys can evaluate in person with a lot of different recruits. And, you know, it's definitely beneficial. Definitely beneficial, excuse me.
And then, of course, they had their big official visit weekend to start the month. Probably one of the smaller ones in the area. You know, it seems like Texas A&M had a really banner event with a lot of guys. LSU had a ton of guys. I feel like I didn't hear a peep out of Oklahoma this weekend, which is odd. I don't know what their situation was. Maybe we'll get Colin on for that at some, you know, one of these weeks and talk about common targets there. But, you know, I think for Texas, it was kind of a nice little starter weekend for the staff to get acclimated with a small but really talented group. And I think probably the big takeaways I got from it are I think Texas put themselves into a position of power with Texas high edge rusher Derrick Brown. And I, you know, he came out of the weekend, he canceled the A&M visit. Right now I'm currently in a battle with people online as to whether he canceled it or they canceled it. Regardless, A&M is out of the race for Derrick Brown. And that's significant because that was one of the you know, the bigger targets for, or the bigger obstacles for Texas in that race. And the reason that I'm not so quick to buy that Texas A&M was the one who canceled the visit is they've been, you know, if you talk to people at in Texarkana, they'll tell you that the two schools recruiting them the hardest as of late are Texas and Texas A&M. They've been in constant contact. So much so I was told they were also trying to be in constant contact while Derek was on his visit. So I think that there were a lot of things that just went sideways there. We'll probably never know exactly what it was, but coming out of the weekend, Texas put themselves in a really good position for a huge need on their board in Derek Brown.
Yeah, I agree. And that's another thing with visit season is there's going to be a lot of he said, she said type ordeals. And this is definitely one of the first ones, even though it may not be on a major scale for, you know, one of the bigger recruits, but Derek Brown is definitely, you know, a great talent in himself, a four-star edge rusher from Texarkana area. And I think, you know, like you said, Texas did a really good job this past weekend getting him on campus, communicating with him well with, you know, a variety of different coaches on the defensive side and Steve Sarkisian. He liked what he saw. And, you know, I still sweat OU just a little bit. But I still see Texas as the leader, like you said. And, you know, you put in a crystal ball last night. I think that's a safe pick. You know, I'm kind of curious to see how that one shakes out.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see if that post-visit high wore off. And if you look around on Twitter right now, Derek Brown is extremely pro-Texas. So I think we're feeling good on that one. Jeremy Patton was a guy coming into the visit you and I had crystal ball picks in on. And from everything I heard, you know, it went really well. Talking to Jeremy after the visit, you know, his comments were that he would rate it above a 10 if he could, and that to him there wasn't anything on the trip that didn't stand out.
Yeah, I think Texas is putting themselves in a really good spot for Jeremy Patton. I think they're putting themselves in a spot that if they want him, they could possibly grab him at the end of the month as far as a commitment. He's going to be taking trips to Michigan and Baylor, if I remember correctly. There might be one more sprinkled in there, but Oklahoma State. That's right. But regardless, I see Texas as the leader in that race. And you know, something that's kind of interesting, they're really going after a lot of these small town guys, and they've identified them as, you know, big time talents. We can look at Jeremy Patton from a 2A high school in Tenaha, Brennan Thompson from Spearman, a 3A school. And you can even look as far as, 23 class with Ruben Owens at El Campo. I find that stuff really interesting. Especially that they were able to get him in on the first weekend of official visits and, prioritizing him at the linebacker spot. I find it really interesting. And, you know, I think Texas could definitely close on him when the time comes.
Another linebacker they had in, and, we can kind of combo this part because I talked to sources on the Texas side. You talked to the kid, Nuafe Tuialamaka from Bishop Alemania, Mission Hills, California. Looking at everything going into the race, it was all kind of Notre Dame over the last month or two. But from the guys I spoke to on campus, it sounded like Texas has done enough to pull even and make that, you know, a really interesting fight. I think the key thing for them right now is keeping this a two-horse race between Texas and Notre Dame. If Oregon or even USC comes back around and muddies the waters a little bit, it could change things. But right now, if it's a two-horse race, Texas has a puncher's chance.
Yeah, I agree. I talked to Nuafe on Tuesday, I believe it was. It may have been Monday night. And he liked everything he saw from the Texas visit. He said it went way greater than he expected it to be. He made the trip with some family members, including his mom and sister as well. And they had a great time. And, you know, something that he's really prioritizing is academics. And he was surprised by the academic front at Texas, and, you know, Macomb School of Business, that's a place he would want to go if he ends up at Texas. He was surprised by, you know, how prestigious it was. That being said, the Mendoza School of Business at Notre Dame is arguably one of the top in the country as well. So they're going to be able to pitch that, as well as his relationship with Coach Freeman and Coach Brian Kelly out at Notre Dame. Those two are really strong, and they're really close with Nuafe. The fact that Texas was maybe able to pull even at best, he's still going to be taking that trip to Notre Dame this upcoming weekend, and that'll give the Irish an opportunity to pull back ahead and go ahead and secure that commitment. You know, I see Nuafe closing his commitment down probably in the next 3 weeks. If I had to give a pretty good timeline, I think it happens before the end of June. So if Texas can stay on him even after his Notre Dame visit and try to pitch the fact that he can come in and play early and compete for a starting spot in year one, then they might be able to secure his commitment. But as of right now, I still see Notre Dame as the leader right there.
Also on the trip, Trevante Citizen, I'm going to quick hit the rest of these guys. Trevante Citizen, heard Texas did a pretty good job with him, came out of the weekend feeling good about where things stand with Louisiana running back. Also, DeAnthony Gatson from Newton, another guy that I think that if they choose to push for is that running back two in this class, they could close down and get. And then Bishop Thomas, the defensive tackle from Orlando. I haven't heard a ton on him. He doesn't talk a lot and but from everything I've heard, Texas is right in the mix there as well. They also came away with a big transfer news. Keelan Robinson, the Alabama running back, who made his way to campus and has decided to make his transfer to Texas, adding a little more firepower to that Texas offense coming into the fall. And Nick, I think that looking at things, probably running back wasn't identified as a huge need. But when you can get a guy like that, especially one that, several members of the staff have familiarity with, I think you got to take that chance if it helps the overall explosiveness of your offense.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a guy that has speed, and we've said it on this show many times. This new staff at Texas, they prioritize guys with speed, guys that can take a top off of defense, whether it be in the slot, it's kind of like an H-back role for Keelan Robinson, or out of the backfield. I think he'll be able to serve both of those purposes. I'm intrigued with how they're going to use him, just considering how stacked the running back room is for the next 3 to 4 years, assuming Jadon Blue and Reuben Owens sign to Texas. You know, that room's going to be really, really stacked moving forward. I mean, and even looking at this upcoming season, he'd probably be a third option, second option at best at running back. So I'm curious to see how they use him. I know they definitely have a way they want to. But I mean, he's a guy with speed, and you can't teach speed. So if you can have a guy like that on your team, that's definitely going to be solid.
One unofficial visitor that came in over the weekend that wasn't expected until late was Cole Hudson. It was fortuitous for Texas that Arizona State was playing in the Austin Regional in baseball, where Cole's dad played baseball, and they wanted to come down and check that out. And I think that that allowed them to come and make an unofficial visit the week before his official visit. So that's huge for Texas, getting him on campus 2 weeks in a row, talk to his dad, talking to him. They raved about the energy. And then just the fact that Kyle Flood sat with them for two whole baseball games and spent time with the family, really shows you how much Kyle Flood is a tenacious recruiter and shows you how much Texas wants Cole Hudson.
Yeah, fortuitous, like you said. It was definitely fortunate for Texas that Arizona State made it down to Austin and gave the Hudson family a reason to go down there. Shout out to Kyle Flood, doing some work with Cole Hudson and his dad, just kind of watching some baseball over the weekend. And this is definitely a guy that we're watching. It's more of an interior lineman prospect for Texas to possibly be able to close on. I see this as a Texas and Oklahoma battle. But Texas is definitely in a good spot, and they'll be able to get him for an official visit this upcoming weekend. So, I'm curious to see how that one shakes out. Texas is doing a really good job with their offensive line prospects right now. Even though there's not a commit in the fold, and we're coming off a 2020 or 2021 cycle where things were definitely less than ideal in the offensive line position group. I think it's still important to remember that Kyle Flood is doing a really good job with these guys, and every time we talk to an offensive line prospect, they have a lot of great things to say about Kyle Flood. So the commitments will roll in, and we just got to kind of be patient on that.
Let's switch gears this weekend. And let's kind of start with today, because there are a couple of big visitors coming in today, Thursday, as we record this. There'll be some guys on campus today, including Brian Allen, who's coming with Jaden Allen, his little brother, who just picked up a Texas offer for camp. Jalen Hale, which I think is a huge story, Texas getting Jalen Hale on campus after looking kind of dead in the water in that recruitment earlier in the spring. Maybe they can reverse some of the momentum in that recruitment. Going into the weekend, we've got a huge list, probably too many to go blow by blow on this visit thing, but we're going to go kind of highlights of the 22 official visit weekend and the 23 unofficial visit weekend. For me, when you're talking about the 22 officials, the guys that stand out on this list, and you know, obviously all of them are important. They're all coming in on official visits for a reason. But the guys who really stand out are Cole Hudson, who we previously mentioned, Jacob Sexton, because you need to find offensive linemen in this class. And then Sebastian Cheeks, who I think Texas has a chance to really, you know, start putting their foot on some people's necks if they can with this recruitment. We've reported in the past that they felt a growing sense of optimism around Cheeks, getting him to see Austin and everything about it. This is a kid that's always been intrigued by Texas and Austin, even before he had an offer, so much so that he and I were talking before Texas had ever reached out to him, because, you know, he felt so strongly about the program. So those are the ones that stick out to me on the official visitor side.
Yeah, I agree. I want to talk about those linebackers that are coming on campus this upcoming weekend. You talked about Sebastian Cheeks as well as Robbie Snelling. I think that one's going to be an interesting one, considering that there's going to be an Austin Super Regional going on, and he's one of the best baseball prospects in the country. He did get an Oregon Crystal Ball this past week from our Steve Wilfong. So that one's going to be kind of curious to see how that shakes out. But that'll be four linebacker prospects that they'll bring in on the first two weekends. And then kind of highlighting around, like you said, Jacob Sexton and Cole Hudson. Getting these offensive linemen on campus and, focusing on these guys, it's definitely going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, the linebacker thing is, do you think they've figured out they've got a problem at linebacker on campus? You know, that's the thing I really do like about this class, this staff, is they've had this linebacker problem for years. And yet, last year staff didn't get to bring guys in, but there were times where they would just be like, well, there's no linebackers in state. Sorry, don't know what you want us to do. And I mean, they're trying to find guys from all over the country to remedy this problem. So one other guy I should mention on the 22 front who will be there this weekend, not on an official visit, but you might as well treat it like one, is Cam Dewberry, another offensive lineman from Atascocita. It basically comes down to this. He had six schools he wanted to see. He only gets five visits because Texas is close and because Texas is a school that he has been to more than any other. He's decided to unofficial to Texas, but told me he's going to treat it like an official. I mean, he's going to go down and do all the presentations and the meetings, and his family's going to stay through. They'll just be paying for it. So, look, I've always said it's really hard, in my opinion, for a team to sign a kid that doesn't take an official. And I think that stands here, even though he is going to take this very unconventional type official. I think it definitely, he could have done the same with A&M and he didn't. So I think that says something about Texas chances. But that said, I don't think they're out of the race whatsoever. And for anybody who wants to bring it up in comparison to Derrick Brown, like, it's just not even the same thing. He's actually still going to take the visit. So I think that's another obviously really important one for Texas.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at the 23s that are coming on campus this weekend, it's going to be a huge, huge weekend for 2023 recruiting. There's going to be a lot of guys that are coming in just one day, and there's going to be a good group that's going to be coming in for the entire weekend. We've talked about the highlights many times: Arch Manning, Reuben Owens, Ashton Cozart. But I mean, just looking down the entire list, I mean, you got guys like Anthony Hill, Harris Sewell, Ashton Porter, Dalton Brooks. I mean, any 2023 in-state talent that you can think of is going to be in Austin this weekend. So it's going to be a huge weekend for recruiting that 23 class, and trying to get some steam going there.
Yeah. You're talking about, I think guys that are elite playmakers that have talked about wanting to play together, possibly when it comes to Manning and Owens, Jonte Cook, in that group as well. Anthony James, the Texas A&M commit's also going to be on the trip. So we'll see where things kind of land with him. Jordan Renaud, and an NFL type talent already, is a guy that they can make a statement with as well. So it's going to be a packed. Oh, here's the big one that we didn't really mention: Jaquez Pettaway. And for people who don't really know it's about Jaquez Pettaway, it's mostly because he doesn't do interviews or anything of that sort, really. So it's really hard to get quotes from him. But this is a kid out of Langham Creek who has, insane production. Last year alone, he put up 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. And then also the verified athletics, a triple jump of 43, a 10.5 500 meter time, a 21.72 200 time. So, I mean, that's a big time kid that Texas has to figure out how to keep from going away from them.
Yeah, for sure. Jaquez Pettaway is definitely a big time talent that they're going to be able to get on campus. And if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be his first unofficial visit. So that's going to be
he was at A&M today, actually, for camp.
Okay, gotcha. So being one of the first few to, you know, for him to get on a campus and, you know, meet these coaches, that's definitely going to be huge. And especially for, you know, once again, speed guys. And that's definitely a speed guy in that 23 class that they're going to be able to get on campus. But just kind of looking at the receivers they're able to bring on campus this weekend, we've talked about that 2023 in-state receiver class being so strong. They got Jalen Hale on campus today. They'll have Jonte Cook, Ashton Cozart, Petaway, and some others on campus this weekend. So it's definitely a good sign that Andre Coleman's doing a, you know, pretty good work in that class right now. They're going to be able to bring some speed guys on board as well.
I'm going to give you a name. This is the name coming out of the weekend that if Texas comes out of the weekend with a little bit of buzz, and they don't have to be the leader, they don't have to hit crystal balls, anything like that, but if they come out of the weekend with a little bit of buzz as a legitimate contender for this player, I think it says a lot about kind of the vision that people have for this offense under Sark. And that's Carnell Tate from IMG Academy, who's coming in. I know for a fact he's a major priority for Texas on their board. Just picked up an Ohio State crystal ball, so we know how it is going to battle against Ohio State for top-notch receivers, but has been really excited about coming to Texas since they offered him. So I'm really interested to see what his post-visit vibe is and where Texas realistically stands coming out of that weekend. Nick, anything? There was also basketball visits. We previewed those last week. There was a big one with Keontae George. Anything you want to mention from last week and anything you want to preview for this week?
Yeah, last week, Texas only had one official visitor on campus, and it was Keontae George. Talking to some sources on both sides, it went fantastic. Things went really well in Austin this past weekend with Keontae George. They were able to, you know, see the campus, see the facilities, you know, have some meals, check out the Austin Baseball Regional. And if you were at that Austin Baseball Regional this past weekend, and when that staff came through with Keontae George, there was a huge applause and a lot of cheering going on. And, you know, Keontae George, you know, that was really one of the highlights of his visit. So that was definitely a big time visit weekend for the Texas basketball staff. And they have another big weekend coming up this weekend. They're going to get two major targets on campus. Four-star combo guard Anthony Black from Capel. He's going to be on campus, as well as five-star power forward Kijani Wright from Los Angeles. These are two of Texas's biggest targets right now. And especially looking at Wright, you know, this is a top 10 player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. And, you know, aside from Keontae George, this is definitely one of the, you know, other top priorities that, you know, Texas would love to get into the fold. And if they were able to somehow land Keontae George and Kijani Wright, that would be absolutely massive for, you know, the first few years of the Chris Beard era. But they're going to be able to get him on his first official visit this upcoming weekend. You know, Kijani Wright's kind of one of those guys that doesn't talk a whole lot. Kind of like we mentioned with Jaquez Petaway, just kind of hard to get a hold of him, hard to get a read. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, get more of an idea after his Texas official visit this upcoming weekend. But I see UCLA, USC, and Kansas also being involved in that recruitment going forward. I assume he'll be taking visits to those spots as well. And then looking at Anthony Black, he's starting to get a lot of interest from some big time blue blood programs, including Duke, Kentucky, Gonzaga. So that one might end up being a little bit more of a heavyweight battle than, you know, the Texas staff initially thought when they first came on campus. But that's just kind of a credit to Anthony Black and the summer he's having. The spring and summer he's having. He's possibly having one of the best off seasons on the AAU circuit of any recruit in the country right now. He's blowing it up at the Pangos All-American camp this past weekend in Las Vegas. He was one of the best guards in attendance. So it's definitely good that they're going to be able to get him on campus first before he takes official visits to Oklahoma State and Iowa State. And I assume he'll save those last two official visits for the season. You know, I expect teams, you know, like Duke, Kansas, Gonzaga, Kentucky to, you know, vie for those last two official visits. So that one's going to be more of a heavyweight battle than initially thought, but Texas is definitely in a good position, especially getting him on campus this upcoming weekend.
Yes, my guy, I will be tuned into that one. And you know, I don't usually tune into basketball recruiting, but I'm a big fan of Anthony Black personally. His mother is an Irving resident, former Irving Nimitz attendee. So I feel like we have a kinship there. All right, Nick, before we get on to the mailbag, earlier this week I was approached by James Sackville, a former punter from SMU, who I've always been fascinated with where technology and recruiting intercede. He has a new app and new product he's working on, and he joined me earlier in the week on the podcast to talk about it. So please enjoy this interview with James Sackville. We hope you're enjoying this week's episode of The State of Recruiting. We'll be back with the second half after a word from our sponsors.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And now joining me on this week's episode of The State of Recruiting, it is James Sackville, a former SMU punter who is really doing some cool things in the recruiting and technology space that he reached out to tell me about. And so I said, well, why don't you come on the podcast? So, James, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, pleasure to be here.
You are you're connected with AIR, which is what you were telling me is basically a LinkedIn slash dating app, but like make it for college students. So I'm gonna probably do a horrible job explaining it. So why don't you give us the elevator pitch of what AIR is?
Sure. Yeah. So AIR is a three-sided platform which combines the concepts of LinkedIn and a dating app, but for collegiate athletic recruiting. So student athletes can create their own athletic resume, promote themselves to relevant college coaches, compare themselves with their peers, swipe left and or right on a university to indicate their interest. College coaches have the ability to sort, filter, and swipe on a prospective student athlete based on their specific wants and needs. You name it in regards to filtering, they can do it, whether it's how fast they run, how high they jump, where they're from, what position they play, what their academic situation is, who else has offered them. You name it. A college coach can filter accordingly based on whatever their specific wants and needs are. And then we also have a third user, which is a liaison. So in this context, it's a high school coach, private trainer, recruiting service. It might be mom, dad, grandma, an academic counselor, for example, someone that can act as the third party or intermediary between the athlete and the coach. And there are a few reasons for it. As I'm sure you and your audience are pretty familiar, there are certain rules on when communication can occur between a college coach and an athlete, depending on the time of the year or if it's an underclassman, et cetera. So that's the first part. The second part is the way that we see it internally is getting a job in a professional setting and trying to get a college scholarship. The recruiting process is almost identical. You know, if you fill out 40% of your resume and you don't have any letters of recommendation, you're probably not going to get a job in a professional setting. The same would very much apply if you're trying to get a scholarship, which is really a very high paying job for an 18, 22 year old boy and girl. You probably want to, you know, present the best version of yourself and have, you know, a letter or two of recommendation that really vouches for your ability and you as a person to hopefully, you know, take it wherever you want to go in your future sport, wherever the university may be. So that's really the thought process there is to represent the athlete in the best light possible. And then also for those small, you know, those high school coaches, those small business owners, those recruiting trainers, et cetera, to be able to give them a platform to build their own business as well. That's really the thought process there. So from 30,000 foot, it's a three-sided marketplace, combine the concept of LinkedIn and a dating app. student athlete, college coach, and then of course their liaisons.
So you being a former athlete, you know, I mean, how did you, you've been through the process before, kind of how did you come about to be involved with this or, you know, get into this or have this idea?
Yeah, I, as you can probably hear from my voice, born and raised in Melbourne, Australia, so not from the stateside originally, and was lucky enough to come over on a football scholarship to play football at SMU, despite having never, ever played the game before. So my story and my roadmap was very unique, probably unlike almost anyone that, you know, grew up playing high school football or any other sport here in America to go play in college. But my process was, and it's by no fault of the program I came from, but I didn't have options. Mm-hmm. I pretty much, it was just like my program said, you're going to SMU. And I happened to get very lucky that SMU was an excellent school and a great fit for me, but it could have very well ended in a very different scenario and at a different institution that didn't suit me as an individual. So I kind of looked at that and I was a bit frustrated because I wanted to have control of the process. And I thought that I was talented enough and worthy to kind of have that ability. And then when I got to America and I listened to the stories of my teammates in the locker room, they have the same, I heard so many stories of, you know, I should have gone to school X, Y, and Z over SMU because, you know, my high school coach screwed me, or I might've gotten injured, or I came from a low socioeconomic background, or whatever the excuse was, I heard it all. And my thought process was, if any of this is true, then that's like unacceptable in this day and age and the technological world that we live in. There has to be a better solution. So that's why I built AIR.
So listeners of this podcast will be somewhat familiar with your process because last year, Texas signed Pro Kick Australia punter Isaac Pearson, and we had him on the podcast, and he talked about the process of basically, hey, they kind of knew I grew up watching Texas because of Michael Dixon, but they kind of just said Texas is for you. So, yeah, not having that option is obviously a frustrating thing for a young man. Where are we at in the – I mean, is this app fully online? Is it still in the developmental stages? Or I mean, have you started working with athletes yet? Where are we at chronologically with it?
Yeah, we as of yesterday, we are 2 weeks live into the market, both on iOS and Android. It's been a very successful first few weeks. We're, I think, 7,500 users strong at this point in time, about 60 universities and counting every single day. And the, you know, the beauty of a platform like this is the value of it grows every single day as more athletes get on. I mean, the big piece of feedback that we've gotten is that Twitter is incredibly inefficient for recruiting. You know, Twitter just happens to be the place in which we recruit because that's where the most people are. But unfortunately, if you were to go on Twitter right now, in four consecutive posts, there might be one thing about football, one thing about politics, one thing about cryptocurrency, and one thing about who knows what else. And it's not tailored. It's just, you know, there because that's the algorithm of Twitter. And it's by no fault of Twitter. It's just Twitter has become this, you know, massive machine at this point in time. Whereas, you know, a LinkedIn, for example, it's far more tailored to the niche of what you're trying to achieve here. So with recruiting, you know, there's a very clear audience for, hey, like, I'm interested in recruiting. I want to know where these kids are going. I want to be able to help myself. I want to recruit the best players available as a coach. I want to compare myself to everyone else that I'm fighting against for a scholarship. So there's a very clear need for it, and to be able to present your whole resume, the big picture, rather than just, like, you know, filling up your Twitter bio with as much information as you can relevant to your recruiting. I think that's a more efficient way of doing it.
What has been the reaction, I guess, from college coaches when you've put this in front of them?
Yeah, they love it. Truthfully, we've gotten schools. I mean, coaches from big Power Five programs all the way down to, you know, junior college. We're certainly not discriminating the level of competition, and that every opportunity is a great opportunity. And every coach, fundamentally, every single coach needs to recruit the best players. Failure to recruit the best players means you probably don't win, and if you don't win, you don't keep your job. So, any tool that can help coaches win, they're going to jump all on board. And really the big thing that we found, and through interviewing hundreds of college coaches, is that they can make a decision on if an athlete is capable of playing at their institution within two or three plays. Pure athleticism alone, regardless if the kid is academically incapable or whatever it may be, just raw athletic talent, can he play here? So we don't want coaches to wait you know, 7 or 8 minutes falling in love with the kid and then realize that he's never going to be able to get into school, or he might have off-field troubles, whatever it might be. We just want to be able to be like, okay, raw athletic ability, I like it. Then go learn everything else about him. And then if I want to watch more film about him, I can do that, and I can do a deep dive for an hour if I want to. But on face value, we live in instant gratification world. Let coaches make a decision and move through processes more efficiently.
Okay, so you guys were out at the SMU Mega Camp, kind of promoting the product, whipping water bottles around, which I'm sure was appreciated as hot as it was out there. That was basically, I told people, a coaching convention with the amount of guys in town. So I hope you got to connect with some new guys out there. And then, did you guys get to connect with any student athletes, any recruits, and what have their thoughts been about it?
Yeah, I think we had 1,500 student athletes get on the platform this week, just from the SMU Mega Camp. We spoke to, you know, just about every coach, or at least one representative from every school that was at the Mega Camp this weekend. It was very much a coaching convention, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've never seen so many coaches in one place, but I mean, I guess other than the AFCA. But it was great. It was an incredibly productive weekend. For us, I mean, we're two weeks old in the market. We've been building this for the better part of a year, but it is, because truthfully, in my opinion, this is a new product and a new innovation here. There is an education component to explaining why this is a more appropriate solution than, you know, anything else in the market, because the big distinction is we're a platform. We are not a recruiting service.
Right.
We are not claiming to be able to match anyone with anyone. If you're talented, the platform should do its job. If you're not talented, I mean, there's nothing we can do to really help you. It will tell you if you are, because people will tell you.
Right.
Or the lack of attention will be obvious, because you're like, I mean, that's really the thought process. I mean, it's no different than LinkedIn.
It's definitely, we're just connecting. You're just connecting people at this point, and then it's up to them to do the rest. What's the next step for you guys? I mean, obviously it's about getting the word out and educating, as you said, but is there a next step, or is it kind of just, hey, continue to grow it as we've been growing it and hope it takes off?
Yeah. Big emphasis in kind of, the camp scene here over the summer months, and then going into the fall. We've got a few partnerships that will be coming out here in the next few weeks, which you'll see that'll really kind of show the growth trajectory there. But we are also going to make it very clear to everyone listening and everyone involved that we're starting in just college football, but the objective is to scale into all 34 sports that the NCAA offer, both men's and women's. So we're starting in college football. It's obviously, as you and the listeners know, it's a big market. There's a lot of money in it, a lot of media attention. It's the sport that I came to America to play. It's where my network is, but there are an overwhelming amount of both boys and girls and the families in other sports, especially women's sports, that are underrepresented and underfunded, that need exposure just as much as a football player. So that is the objective going forward.
Absolutely. So if any of recruits, parents, coaches are listening to this, where can they go to find out some more information on this?
Yeah, they can go on the App Store, both the Google Play Store and the App Store, and just type in AIR College Recruiting. Or they can go onto our website, athletesinrecruitment.com, and you can find us on social as well at athletesinrecruitment.com. Or Athletes in Recruitment, sorry. So we're all around. You'll be able to find us. And we're hoping to just, you know, make life a little bit easier for everyone involved and improve people's position. The big thing, if I can leave anyone with everything, is the phrase, "I didn't get enough exposure," should never be an excuse anymore. You know, like, we live in a technological world. You either didn't do enough or you weren't good enough. But the phrase, "I didn't get enough exposure," should never, ever, ever be an excuse for an athlete or a parent or a high school coach, et cetera, ever again. That's if we can achieve that goal, then we've done our jobs.
I love it. No more sleeping on people. All right. Well, yeah. James, I appreciate your time, man. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. I appreciate you too.
We look forward to seeing how this turns out, man. And like I said, we will, we're happy to help you get the word out about it.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time.
And we want to thank James Sackville for coming back onto our podcast and talking about AIR, Athletes in Recruitment. Really cool sounding product, and really interested to see how that gets off the ground. All right, let's go ahead and jump over to the mailbag. As always, you can get your questions in on the Horns 24/7 message board whenever the thread's put up. To the credit of our Horns 24/7 message board posters, I just put this thread up like literally as we started recording, and we have enough. So I'm going to go ahead and lock the thread right now. You guys are hearing this in real time as we do it. And let's get started. From Horns Forever 22, should we be panicking over Bryce Anderson like everybody else on the board seems to be doing? So yeah, like I mentioned earlier, Texas A&M had a big recruiting weekend as well. They had most of their commits on campus and a few really big time targets, and came out of it, you know, in a strong position for a lot of guys. Probably made a little bit of an impact in that Bryce Anderson recruitment, where we thought was kind of all Texas. And it's not exactly surprising. I wrote something earlier in the week about kind of riding the waves of these visit weekends. And, you know, Texas has to do it with Bryce Anderson. They had to do it with Kelvin Banks. They'll have to do it with Devon Campbell and Evan Stewart and guys like that. And, you know, and I think also it's important to note that other schools had to do that with kids they're recruiting. You know, they've got to do that when they go to Texas. So it's just kind of the nature of the beast. I think A&M has kind of always been a dangerous opponent for Bryce Anderson. You know, they have been a school that's kind of been a pillar in that recruitment for the longest. They were the school that, when he decommitted from LSU, probably grabbed the earliest momentum. And, you know, they've always done well recruiting in that Houston Golden Triangle area. So, yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that they know how to put on a visit weekend. They've done this before. They're a staff of good recruiters, and they had a good visit with him. I think Texas gets the last shot. You know, there is some question to that. Bryce did tell me that if his school can, you know, will qualify for a 7-on-7 state tournament, that they will be there. That's the weekend he's supposed to be at Texas. So he'd either have to reschedule or just not go. But I think at this point, I'm still confident leaving our picks on Texas for Bryce Anderson, especially if they get the last visit. I think that they kind of solidify that recruitment.
Yeah, I agree. I think Texas is still in a good spot. That being said, Texas A&M definitely made this really interesting this past weekend. And, you know, if I were a Texas fan, I would be sweating A&M at this point, personally. He had a really good official visit weekend. He was the last recruit to leave on Sunday. He had a one-on-one with Jimbo Fisher for about an hour and a half on Sunday afternoon. And then he was back for an unofficial visit on Tuesday. He had brought up some Westbrook kids to camp, and he was up there with Bobby Taylor just kind of seeing some more stuff. So he's definitely looking deep into Texas A&M right now, and that has to be a concern if you're any other school. And considering he has an Alabama official visit coming up as well, you know, it's never for sure until he commits. So, you know, Texas A&M and Alabama, they're going to give some viable competition. But, you know, Texas, they definitely have an opportunity to close this out if they can, especially if they can get that official visit at the end of the month.
And I, you know, I should mention, I think that I see this kind of a lot like, you know, you described the Nuafe Tuiaalamaka recruitment. To where, yes, that school pulled even, maybe even, I don't know. It's hard to tell. That's just a comment I have about this is people constantly ask, like, where is things right now with a kid? And it's not like there's a meter on the kid's head that says, like, it's even or Texas leads or anything. I mean, it's hard to say minute to minute. I don't think things change that quickly. But I think they've actually put themselves really, you know, very much in the conversation. And so, but like Texas did with Tuiaalamaka, you know, if they get him on campus, they get the last shot and the chance to extend that lead. And I think that's kind of, you know, the lead that Texas has had with him is a reason that Anderson gave them the last visit going into the summer. So we'll just have to see, you know, kind of at the end of June. From Hook'em 361, hey, Mike, any of the recruits schedule visits during games for the upcoming season? Also, how will you and Nick unwind once crazy month of recruiting is over? Nobody's scheduled anything yet. And I should say, the reason I think you're seeing the staff try to get a lot of guys in this summer is it's not a great home schedule for Texas. There's no LSU game on the schedule. There's no USC game or something like that. So usually those get scheduled later in the summer. Right now it's all about kind of focus on this. As for unwinding, my wife is actually going to take me to Vegas at the end of the month for the last weekend on my birthday. And then in August, I'm going to Mexico for a week and leaving my computer at home. So that's how I'll unwind. I don't know how Nick plans to.
As far as visits for this upcoming season, like Mike said, there's not a great or fantastic home schedule. We'll definitely see, you know, recruits show up for official visits, but the priority is getting them on campus this summer. As far as unwinding, whenever this month is over, I'm going to the opening in Los Angeles at the end of the month. That'll kind of be an unwind of some sorts. That's an event I've always wanted to cover, you know, in full length. I covered one day when it was in Frisco a couple of years back, so I'm excited to get down and do that. But as far as, you know, at the end of the summer, taking a vacation or anything, I don't know about anything like that yet.
You know, Nick, though, he might just pop up in, you know, El Paso or something for the weekend and go or drive to Denver. Who knows? You know, that's Nick. That's what he does. So from Sarcastic Fan, that's a good name. What are some of the notable differences that you guys are hearing about in regards to the previous coaching staff and the current coaching staff in terms of official visit experience for recruits? I know we're less than 2 weeks in, so you may not have a good feel. Yeah, I don't have a great feel. I've been asked the question a lot. I'm probably not going to have a great feel until the year is over, until I talk to people at the end of the year and get like a lot of data about it, because visits are usually tailored to each kid. So, I mean, not every kid has the same experience. So let's get through this cycle. Let me talk to parents and everybody through the year, and we'll see kind of how that looks at the end of the year. He has a bonus question here. Who's your favorite movie director? Mine is Kevin Smith, which is, I just like Kevin Smith's kind of whole outlook on life, and he's directed a couple of my favorite movies, written them too, but it's going to be unfortunate because somebody called me Silent Bob on the board last week, and that's obviously Kevin Smith's, you know, finest role. So I'm sure that will get brought back up.
As far as notable differences, yeah, like Mike said, we're probably not going to get a complete feel until the end of the cycle. That being said, we have been hearing that, you know, Sarkisian is a lot more involved than Herman was as a head coach. And that's just kind of like their different styles of recruiting. You know, it works for some and doesn't for others, but it's definitely working for Sarkisian right now, for him being so heavily involved in these visits. Reuben Owens took an unofficial visit earlier this week just to get a one-on-one with the coaching staff before returning this upcoming weekend. And they said they had great conversations with Steve Sarkisian, you know, and they were there for 3-4 hours just talking to coaches, having a good time, seeing facilities. So that is one thing that has kind of stood out. As far as who is my favorite movie director, I think I mentioned it on the show before. I'm not a huge movie buff. I don't watch a lot of TV just in general. But if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Ryan Coogler.
Nick hates movies and TV. He hates anything that's
I will say I'm watching The Sopranos now. I think you would be a fan of that. I'm on episode 4, and I think it's going to end up sticking with me.
Nick, why didn't you tell me this? It's my favorite television show of all time.
I thought The Wire was your favorite television
show. No, that's number 2.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited. I'm 4 episodes in, and it's getting pretty good, so I think it might stick.
What precipitated this?
A couple friends, you know, and my mom, they're like, you got to watch this show. Like, if you're going to watch a show, watch this one. I'm like, okay, I will.
Yes.
Forcing me to watch the first 2 episodes for me to finally, like, get on it. It just, I don't have the patience for TV anymore.
You know? It's long, Nick. It's a slow burn, but it is so good. And it's dated. That's the thing I'll say is you probably noticed that watching the first couple episodes. Remember, that show started to be filmed in 1998. So, like, there's things you'll see, like, in their living rooms and stuff that you're like, wow, that feels dated, but the show is still so good. We got to move on because I'll just talk Sopranos the rest of the podcast if we don't. From Red Wings EK028, do you see a kicker and punter in the 2022 class? I do see a kicker, not a punter. They signed a punter last year in Isaac Pearson. I think they've got to get a kicker to replace Cameron Dicker. They've already took a long snapper earlier this week. So I did write in Mike at Night, I think Monday evening, that kind of a big special teams look at guys who were coming in. They offered Robert Gunn, a kicker from Tampa, the other day. Blake Ford from Arlington Lamar came down and kicked for him earlier this week. And then there's a couple of other guys. There's a guy at Austin Regions whose name is escaping me, and then Gavin Marshall at Frisco High, who will also come and kick for him later in the month. So I do see him taking a kicker, not a punter.
Yeah, like you said, there's going to be 2 scholarships used on specialists. They already have one wrapped up with the long snapper Lance St. Louis that committed earlier this week. And they're probably going to use that other one for a kicker. And this is just kind of my thinking here. They don't necessarily have to take a kicker in the 22 class, considering that Cameron Dicker is going to have an extra year of eligibility. So if they don't like the options that they see in 22, they could wait until the 23 class. But it looks like the options that are available in 22, especially with the offer going out to Robert Gunn last week, it looks like they're going to go ahead and try to capitalize on it and, you know, grab a kicker in the cycle. So definitely.
Here's the other thing. Who's the kid they took last year with the crazy hair as a walk-on?
Burt Auburn from Flower Mound.
Burt Auburn. Talking to a guy that you and I both know who's really ingrained in the special teams world, told me he was really surprised Texas was going after because he thought Auburn was a guy that would almost be worth a scholarship for most Power Five schools. He was like, I think they've got their guy already on campus, but he was kind of surprised they were looking for a kicker. So, but it appears they are. So, yeah. From Average Jack, the realistic chances of landing offensive linemen Kelvin Banks and Devon Campbell. I think they're both very realistic. I think Texas is in the pole position for Campbell, and I think they are one of two or three schools in the top position for Banks. And so, yeah, I think both of those are really strong.
Yeah, I think Texas is still doing a fantastic job with Devon Campbell. That's just going to be one that everyone's going to have to be patient with. I think he's not going to be locking down his recruitment until right at the end of the cycle in December, probably. Looking at Kelvin Banks, he took a visit to LSU this past weekend that, you know, that he really liked. And especially with Brad Davis is now his offensive line coach in Baton Rouge. The early returns is that recruits love that move, especially looking at Cam Dewberry. He loves that move. And Kelvin Banks, obviously, taking that official visit this past weekend, and he likes that move. So LSU is going to be really involved there. Oklahoma State's going to get him on campus for an official visit as well. And Texas A&M is always going to be a player for Kelvin Banks. So it might be a heavyweight battle, but Texas definitely has a legitimate shot for Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, I think just talking about Brad Davis, like so last year when it looked like Herman may stick around, but maybe Hand would be fired. I did a deep dive on like who could be a good offensive line replacement coach. And he came up as like number one on my list because my reasoning for that was I didn't know who the offensive line coach was at Arkansas, but I said, hey, Sam Pittman was the best offensive line coach in the country when he was at Georgia. So who would he pick to be his offensive line coach? And went and looked him up and then looked at the resume. He has got, you know, he's a very accomplished guy and well-known guy in Louisiana. I thought it would have been a fantastic hire for Texas, even more so for LSU, him being a Baton Rouge guy. So yeah, that one's gonna score high. From football 582017. Are we pretty much done with the transfer portal for now? Wondering if there's any info on who might still be out there and if Texas will make a run at any. They're still in the race for Caleb Evans. I don't really know where things stand as now after him taking a couple of visits. I would lean that he's probably going to end up at Missouri, where his former coach at Tulsa, Aaron Fletcher, is now as the DB coach. But I think with Robinson gone, Texas will take a run at Evans. Unless something really appetizing pops up later in the year, I think they're kind of done with the portal.
Yeah, I agree. Caleb Evans is probably the only target left on the board there. So, yeah, I agree.
All right, take it to the banks. What is the dream wide receiver class as of right now for Texas in 2023? I think it starts with Jonte Cook. That's a guy that they've shown that they're really prioritizing in that class. Carnell Tate, who I mentioned earlier. And then, man, if you can land Jalen Hale, that'd be really neat. I'm trying to think. Oh, and then Pettaway, probably. I think that'd be the four. If you want a dream class, that's your dream class right there.
Yeah, that would be my four as well. I might substitute out one of those slot guys. So maybe I'd substitute Pettaway out for, I don't know, Ashton Cozart. I think he's a guy that could, you know, end up being a big-time, big play threat moving forward, especially once he, you know, kind of develops into his body and grows. So that could be interesting as well.
All right. Our last question, as always, comes to us from Charles Daniels. Mike and Nick, with the amount of athletes that were at the SMU camp last week, we've heard it was difficult to get reps. Being in 7-on-7 practices with my son, I've seen some athletes have an interesting way to steal reps. Working the camp circuit, have you ever had anyone impress you with their ability to steal reps? Yeah, I will say a kid I saw at SMU, Devin Turner from Frisco Lone Star, lined up at four different positions during camp. So he may not have been getting all of his reps at one position, but he would go line up at safety, take a rep, and then he would go over and line up in the slot. Then he would go line up at corner. Then he would go line up at receiver. So he was getting his reps in. That was probably the most creative way. I also saw Hayden Connor do that once by taking tight end reps at a camp. that long ago. So yeah, it's important. And I mean, I think if you want to fight for reps, you can. Like, if you just want to be like, hey, I'm going to the front of the line, there are kids who will definitely let you.
Yeah, nothing really stuck out to me at the SMU camp about certain kids, you know, trying to get more reps in. However, it does stick out to me when kids are ducking reps, and that does happen, which is interesting. And that's mind-blowing to me that you would pay for a camp and then you start ducking reps whenever you get there. So, I don't know, that's kind of a shout-out to those.
All right, that's going to do it for the mailbag, and that will do it for our show. As always, you guys are what keeps us going, and we're back, I think, on a pretty regular schedule now. So unless, you know, some crazy things happen, we'll be back here every week. Nick, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, nothing too crazy. Just getting ready for another week of visits. Let's get
I'm guessing the Texas girls are no longer in the College World Series, right? I heard about that, right?
Yeah, correct. They didn't make the College World Series, but this is the national championship now, and it's Oklahoma and Florida State.
Oh, so is this like the deciding game?
Yeah, this is game three, winner takes all.
Who's up right now?
Oklahoma's up 2-1 in the top of the third. Florida State's threatening, so probably should be a pretty good one. I hear Colin kind of going crazy in the other room, rooting for OU. So.
I know that's all. I know that's an awesome moment for our listeners who will listen to this Friday morning. But they are a live update of the Oklahoma-Florida State softball game. But it is what it is. All right, we appreciate all you guys for listening. We appreciate you for playing along. Go to our pages on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, any of those. Please like, subscribe, rate, review, do all those great things to help us out. For Nick Harris, I'm Mike Roach. We will see you guys next week.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.